It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Your host, Charlie Potter, here on WGN Radio. And thank you very much for joining me. And if we end up with a little bit of a scratchy reception, it's because I, like so many of you, I'm unable to come into work, and I'm doing this remotely. So bear with me if we end up with a little bit of a scratchy connection, but hopefully we don't. I guess I'm going to start off by going a little bit out of bounds on the Great Outdoors Show, but I will quickly come back to why it's relevant. And I don't know, I think many of you will feel as I feel. Some of you may not, and if you don't, please forgive me. This is not partisan. It's not political. It is that I, as I know so many of you are just appalled at what's taken place this past week in our United States Congress. That here we are, as a nation, facing one of our great challenges. And we have a Congress that tries to get up to the federal trough and load it up with every single goodie that every lobbyist or every representative ever wanted to have. And I think it's just, I think it's disgraceful. And I think whether you're Republican or Democrat, it doesn't matter. We're at a time when we're trying to pull together as a nation to confront this virus that has brought us to our absolute standstill. And the emergency need is to address the virus. There's no emergency need to put $33 million in the U.S. Forest Service budget or tens of millions of dollars in NASA's budget. Do you think you're going to find a cure for the coronavirus on Mars? Or $75,000, this is a $1 trillion plus deal, $75,000 for a Native American museum in Alaska. Who thinks of these things? And I am, and always have been, and you've heard me for so long on this show talk about the need to fund our national parks and our refuges and our Forest Service and our Fish and Wildlife Service. But this is not the time to go and hand out goodies that we will pay for the rest of our lives and our children and grandchildren are likely to pay for. So I've never made a political statement on the Great Outdoors Show, and I'm not making one today. But based on what I've heard from many of you who listen to the show and many others, we, as citizens of the United States of America, are absolutely, absolutely fed up with a Congress that slobbers at the federal trough at a time of national need to get all sorts of unrelated things. I'm not going to go through the laundry list of things from PBS to the National Endowment of the Arts to the Kennedy Center. My whole point is, this is about health and the health care of a country. And the fact that Congress spent a week deciding what other kind of things they wanted to grab onto that we'll have to pay for later is extremely disheartening. So bringing it back to the great outdoors, in this treasure trove of federal largesse, and of course, at the end of the day, it's all our money. It's not the government's money, it's our money, of which we don't have. In this treasure trove of federal largesse are lots of things that will do good things for managing our national parks, $33 million for studying trees in our national forests, or some number like that. I've looked at these numbers, and they all, after a while, become a blur. But that's great. The national parks will get money. There'll be money for fixing up things, all of which I've long advocated on this show. But let's do it the right way. Let's do it through the Land and Water Conservation Fund. Let's do it through the Duck Stamp Fund. Let's do it through the Pippin Robertson and the Wallet Bray Funds. Let's do it through the funds that Congress, with the participation of the American people, created for the well-being of our natural resources. So we are going to find money flowing from the federal spigot to places that didn't need it, didn't ask for it, and most of all are unprepared to receive it. So the Forest Service got out, somebody in some lobbyist somewhere in this multi-hundred page document, hundreds of pages, slipped in a line, we're going to study more about trees. And somebody else slipped in a line, we should get more money to NASA, because that's really relevant right now. So we'll pay for this later. In the meantime, I, like so many of you, just wish that we could come together as a country and not squander the goodwill of the American people and our resources on things that congressional representatives just think, this is how you do business. Well, I don't think it's how you do business, and I know many of you don't think it's how you do business. And hopefully this is temporary, and it won't become an ever-ending burden on us as we move out of this calamity. Shifting from that, I want to talk for a moment about what's going on across the country with governors locking down and mayors locking down access to our public spaces. It's ironic to me that the governor of Arizona thinks it's a very good idea for people to go play golf and get outside. And the governor of Illinois has closed every golf course in the state of Illinois. For those of you who play golf, and maybe you play like me, you know the least likely place you're to hit the ball is where they actually mowed the fairway down the middle. Golf is a solitary sport. You're walking off in the woods. You're looking for golf balls. You're putting your clubs and feet in the water to get balls out of the water. How often have you seen golfers hit their balls next to each other? Never. Yet we now cannot go play golf because we can't be trusted to social distance from ourselves. I think it's absolutely pathetic. We've entered a nanny state overnight. Well, actually, we've been in a nanny state, but we're entering now the great nanny state, where governors and mayors can tell us what we do outside with our lives. We all know that we're supposed to socially distance. I got news for you, and I'm sure you feel the same way. It's hard to know when you're 6 feet, 9 feet, or 5 feet from someone. And obviously, 6 feet is a magical number. It's pulled out of thin air. The virus won't travel more than 6 feet. The idea is separate. Use common sense. Don't tell us that we can't go to the beaches and the lakefront in Chicago. Mayor Lightfoot is locking us in our houses. Chicago's great reason in the outdoors, one of our greatest assets, are our city's parks and our lakeshore. You should be able to go fishing in Lake Michigan right now. No, you can't. You can't go to the lakeshore. You should be able to ride your bike along the lakeshore. No, you can't do that either. You might not be socially distancing yourself. We are, as a human culture, we are people who want to be outside when the weather's nice. And we're moving into a time of the year when the weather's nice. Would you rather have six people stuck in a room or six people walking at a distance where they're not holding hands in the outdoors? There's no question. So we are closing down the very resources that we need as a culture across America. Governor Newsom in California, what did he do? He closed all the parking lots to the beaches. California has the longest coastline in America, the west coast of Florida. There's not a lot of beach over there in a lot of places. Certainly the east coast is long, but continuous coastline, California's got it. And you can't go there. 40 million people live in that state, and they're stuck inside. Part of what we need as a society is to be outside. And everybody who's talking about this virus says you need to have social distancing, but you need fresh air. Temple Park, basically can't do that. So Mayor Lightfoot in Chicago, I hope if you're listening to the show, and Governor Pritzker, I hope if you're listening to the show, I know someone on your staffs are listening to this show because of the feedback I get when we talk about you. So I'm talking directly to you, and I think I'm talking to you directly on behalf of hundreds of thousands of people in the city of Chicago. We want to be able to go to our parks. We want to be able to go to the lakeshore. We know how to safely distance ourselves. And if for some reason there's a cluster of people, well, they can be asked to separate. But don't shut our city down at a time of year when we need to be outside, when it's important to our very health to be outside. Whether you're a runner, you can't run front of the lakefront, unless you want to just run around your block in a circle. I think we have taken this to an absolute extreme. And I'm not, certainly I'm the last person to talk about the legality of things, but as far as I know, we haven't declared some kind of martial law here. And we are badly trampling on the freedoms of American people. And Governor Pritzker, I urge you to let people go play golf. For goodness sakes, let them go play golf. You don't want them in the same golf cart? Fine, one person to a golf cart. But let people get outside. Let them enjoy our parks. Let them enjoy our beaches, our lakefronts. And this is true across America. We cannot lock up hundreds of millions of people and say, don't go outside. It's not natural, and it's not going to be healthy in the end run. So speaking on behalf of all of us in America who love our outdoors, who want to be in the outdoors, who want to get away from people, let us do it. Let us walk our beaches, go to our parks, get on a horse and ride. This is a serious situation for the health of our country, and it's going to be a more serious situation if we're locked away for weeks on end without being able to go outside, get any exercise, and most of all, see the sun and get fresh air. I'll be back in just a moment with more on the Great Outdoors Show. When I come back, since I'm on the subject, I'm going to talk about what's going on with gun sales. On one hand, it's an absolute boon. The Pittman-Robertson Fund is going to be bulging after years of decline. On the other hand, you can't buy a gun. And states are trying to stop you from buying a gun. So we'll talk about the Pittman-Robertson Fund when I come back. I hope that you have agreed with what I've said. We need to be treated like human beings. We are adults. We are in charge of our own destiny. We don't need a nanny, state, or governor to tell us what we can do. We just need to know the parameters. Give us the parameters, and we'll be fine. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN, and first a message now from our longtime sponsors, Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Every game, it's all on the line. Personal, one-on-one, head-to-head. You have to look for every advantage. Strength, speed, and power to win.
Dan Hampton knows when you're looking for a tough competitor, Chevy Silverado has every advantage. Silverado's Ecotec 3 V8 gets better mileage than Ford's F-150 EcoBoost V6. You heard it here. Plus, Silverado's trailering package delivers 12,500 pounds of towing capacity that guarantees hauling muscle. More power, better performance. That's the kind of advantage that wins games. And there's never been a better time to see your local Chevy dealer about the Big Fix Lease. It's an amazing lease deal that can lower your monthly payments and give you more Chevy than you ever imagined for less money. Your Chevy dealer knows what it takes to be a winner.
Take it from number 99. Chevy Silverado is an all-star. See your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details. Kick off the season right. Go for it.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Your host, Charlie Potter on WGN Radio. Thank you for being with me. Let's talk for a moment about the Pittman-Robertson Fund and what is happening. After 3 years of a precipitous, basically off-the-cliff decline in gun sales in America, after President Trump was elected, not a political statement, it's a fact. We had had 8 years previous to that of the most robust, some of the most robust gun sales in history. And now we've been in 3 years of decline. States are looking at the Pittman-Robertson Fund, which is the tax on firearms, excise tax on firearms and ammunition. It's what funds so much of our land acquisition for hunting. It's what funds so much of our management. It's the absolute cornerstone of the federal program to support hunting in America. Funds have been in decline. Of course, states absolutely loved getting the money from the federal government that occurred in the previous administration when people were buying guns because they didn't feel safe or they felt their gun rights were going to be taken away or whatever the reason. States never thought that it would decline. Well, it had been in serious decline for the last 3 years, and boom, overnight. I mean, literally overnight. In 2 weeks, sale of guns across America have boomed to a level,
probably a day-by-day level that may have never been seen. And ammunition is flying off the shelves. You're now going to wait several weeks to get certain kinds of ammunition. If you went to Gat Guns, which is in Dundee, Illinois, the other day, and you looked at the parking lot, the parking lot was full and people were practically out into the street. There is a reason that people are buying guns. And I certainly on the Great Outdoors Show am not going to get into that. That's not what I do. But I am going to say that the financial windfall that suddenly is going to come, and it will be temporary, I assume, the financial windfall that's going to come to the Pittman-Robertson funds of the states, I hope the states this time realize it really is like Christmas. This is not going to be something that continues. The other part of the equation, which is really important, is so many individuals who are buying guns now for the first time are first-time gun buyers. And we need to make sure that we have access to shooting ranges, that we have access to hunter safety, that all of these things right now are shut down. But we have a really well-thought-out system in America for helping individuals learn to become safe with firearms, learn to become safe as hunters. And we need to make sure that we don't forget about that in this time of really large, quickly, very fast, large gun sales. Shifting back to the outdoors, where, of course, I love to spend my time, and I know so many of you do. It's spring. It's the time of the year when the absolute magic moments occur. And I just was fortunate the other day. I was outside. It was a beautiful day. No, I wasn't on the Chicago lakefront because I'm not allowed to do that. But for the last, I would guess, 35, 40 years of my life, I have walked Navy Pier north up to North Avenue every March and watch the migration of birds going north, usually right about now. Of course, I can't do that now. So I went somewhere else because I am somewhere else because I'm not locked in my house. And I went outside and I heard that faint cry, which comes when there are snow geese migrating high overhead. And since I did a turkey call once on the air, I guess I'll do a snow goose call now. It sounds a little bit like... That's what they sounded like, and they were way, way up in the sky. And I watched this V of snow geese. The sun was on their wings, headed north by northwest. And as they went out of sight, there was a pause, and then there was another V, and then there was another V. And I stood there mesmerized, watching this, realizing that while here we are in this time of really great trouble, nature is moving north. Millions, tens of millions, actually hundreds of millions of birds are working their way north. Some, like the yellow warbler coming all the way from Costa Rica. Some, like the sandhill cranes coming out of New Mexico and out of Texas. Others, like the snow geese coming off the rice fields in Arkansas and Mississippi and Louisiana. They're all visual and they're vocal. And, of course, the now ever-present Canada goose, which 50 years ago was a rarity, they're migrating too. And then with them are millions of ducks and millions of songbirds, which we tend not to see. And this year might be, in a very perverse way, in a way, a great year for songbirds to migrate north. Because one of the things that absolutely kills songbirds is flying into buildings that are lit up at night. And with basically every city now in North America being shuttered, there's no reason for all these office buildings to have all their lights on all night. And it may provide a pathway north for warblers in particular who fly into Chicago buildings by the thousands and on their way north because Lake Michigan is one of their major pipelines as they head north to the prairies to breed. So maybe there won't be as many warblers killed or other birds killed flying into buildings. But it is the time of the year to crane your head skyward, to look, and to see that magic of birds moving to do what they need to do, to to rebuild their populations on the breeding grounds so that their life cycle can be continued. So hopefully, wherever you are, you'll be able to get outside and won't be shuttered back inside and sent back inside. Don't gather. Keep your social distances. But look up to the sky. You might just see that magical moment of the spring migration, and it'll uplift your spirits, I know, just as it uplifts mine every time I see it. And that flight of snow geese headed to the Arctic, they've got thousands of miles to go. Thanks so much for listening this morning. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And most of all, stay well.